This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
That one word on the screen, go, is really our hope, our direction for life as a follower of Jesus, as a church as well, to be on mission. It's the last thing that Jesus told his followers, is go and make disciples of all nations. Go and tell them about Jesus. It's a command to all of us. And as we think about that, this last few years as a church, we've kind of been thinking about what does it mean to make disciples? What does it mean to be on mission with Jesus? So 3 years ago, we introduced this definition of disciple, which is a student, but here's our definition of a disciple here at Bridges. It's a disciple is someone who is devoted to, developing in, and deployed by Jesus. It's kind of that simple, right? And it's what we want to be about. This is not a social club as a church. It's not just a thing that we do. It's a life. It's a movement that Jesus has started over 2,000 years ago. And as you look at that, last couple of years, we've made each of those things a theme for the year. Like 2023, we started talking about, what does it mean to be devoted to Jesus? I mean, is he really number one in our life? Is he first place? Is he the center of our lives as human beings and also the center of our marriages, center of our families? What does it mean to be devoted to him fully and completely? And so we took a year and looked at that, and we continue to look at that. Then last year, 2024, we go, what does it mean to be developing in Jesus? Because that's God's goal for us, right? To become like Jesus. We might have different goals for life, but God's focused on our character, and the way we act, the way we talk, the way we think, the way we respond to people, all should be like Jesus. That's what God is doing in our life. Sometimes we get caught up in the day-to-day kind of stuff, but God's purpose is to become like his son. And then this year, 2025, we're focusing on the last part. What does it mean to be deployed by Jesus, to be under his command, to be on mission with him? And we came up with this kind of an idea to really focus on this year. So deploy 25 is this. It's go where God calls you to go, and do what God calls you to do in everyday life. Like if he calls you to go to the grocery store, just he puts on your heart, speak to the person in front of you, going, okay, God, if that's what I'm supposed to do, and maybe you can encourage them, or maybe text someone and say, I'm praying for you today. I just want you to know I'm praying for you, and reach out to them. Maybe it's taking a meal over to a family, either in the hospital or a next door neighbor, and just saying, this is just for you, and just showing acts of kindness and love to people as you're deployed out in the neighborhoods, right? It's about taking the gospel in everyday kinds of conversations to other people. And that could be this way. It could be whenever he speaks to you as a follower of Jesus, go do it then. It's whatever he calls you to do, however he calls you to do it, and wherever you're supposed to go. So we're all called by God to do something in being deployed. And that's what we're focusing on this year. So even though we're in a series called Canaan right now, we're going to stop from time to time and talk about what does it mean to be deployed. And our theme verse for the year is from John chapter 20, verse 21. It's what Jesus told his disciples on the day he was resurrected. And he told them this, John 20, 21. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. After 3 years together, after spending time and listening to Jesus' teachings, is hanging out together, sharing a meal, watching him do miracles, watching him react to people all around him, responding to the poor, to the needy, to people that were different. They watched him for 3 years. They just did life together. And then they were there for the crucifixion, and they were there for the resurrection. And then he said this to them, the way that I was sent into the world, now I'm going to send you out. My time is over, now it's your time. But wait here and receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll go out with power and you'll have the words to say and he'll open doors. And so that's what they did. Some of them stayed in Jerusalem for a period of time, but other ones went all over the world. They went to Europe. They went to Africa. They went to Asia. They went as far as India. Some of them went in pairs. Some of them went as individuals. And wherever they would go, they would simply do this. They would share the gospel, whether it was in a public place like a synagogue or a public meeting hall. And then as people responded, as they began to gather, they would form groups. That was what the ecclesia is. Ecclesia means the called out ones. And they would settle down. They would move into people's homes and have services there. Or they'd meet in public buildings. And so it looked like all kinds of stuff. But the main thing that held it together was it was centered on Jesus. It was about worship. And it was about reaching their communities for Christ. And that's what we want to be about in our series that we're calling Canaan. You can go back and look at the first time that God called someone, specifically Abram, right? And we looked at that in Genesis 12, where God said to Abram, leave your home, Leave your family, leave everything that you know behind, and go to a land I will show you. Go on a faith journey, right? And we've been studying and looking at what does it mean to be on faith journey with Jesus, to leave what we know and go on to something new that God has for us and trust him implicitly in everything that he calls us to do. And we're all on that faith journey. Today, as you can kind of see, there's two chairs up here going, what's going on, right? We always like to do little things differently. So today, I want to have Brandon come up. If you've been around a while, you know Brandon has been a big part of our church. And I wanted him to share with us as a church today the faith journey his family's been on and what's next for them. So Brandon, thanks for being here again. Second service. We're doing it again.
Yeah,
so
here we go.
Here we go. So if you'll just kind of share your story. Yeah.
So I'm not one known for short emails, short texts, or short stories. So I'm going to do my best to like give you the short version of a little bit of our story. And I want to tell you two components, really. One is what brought us here to Winston, and the other is generally what I've been up to. So the story of what brought us to Winston is actually kind of pretty cool. We lived in Florida in a little town called Newport Richey, just outside of Tampa, Florida, for 7 or so years. Jason and Dana, you guys can raise your hands because you're actually here in this service. Jason is my brother-in-law, Dana is my sister-in-law, and we lived about a block away from them. Formed a very tight relationship with them over the years. And in 2018, might have been 2019, they had the privilege of coming up to like the Johnson City, Tennessee, roughly area for a wedding of one of their friends. And they came back starry-eyed with how beautiful it was in this region of our great country. And so me, the planner, the dreamer, the thinker, I was immediately on Zillow. I think a lot of us were. We were like, oh, I wonder, like, what houses are for sale up there? That was the seed planted that then grew into, hey, I think God's calling our two families to move a little bit further back up north. Now, a lot of our extended families are Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and so this call to come back north was laid on all of our hearts. But we knew we wanted to do it together. Between our family, the Peaks, and their family, the Fields, we were in this thing together, whatever it looked like. And so we started in that eastern kind of Tennessee region looking for a house or a property or maybe a property with two homes on it or something that would allow us to both move up. And when that wasn't found in the Johnson City or Elizabethton kind of area, what I started to do was make the search radius. If you've ever done this in Zillow, like you make the radius a little bit bigger. You know what I'm talking about? Like, okay, maybe I'll go a little bit further out and a little bit further out. And next thing you know, it was like, oh my goodness, it was like Virginia to Georgia, much to the chagrin of my wife. And I was willing to go like as far over as Kentucky, and there were some of us that weren't so willing to go over to Kentucky. And the next thing you know, we find this fixer-upper house that has a few bonus rooms. It's out in the woods. It needs a lot of work, but hey, we're up for a challenge in a tiny little town that we've never heard of called Tobaccoville. We're like, no, really? Tobaccoville? Okay. Maybe. And through an awesome miracle chain of events that I'll tell you some other time, we ended up buying this house basically sight unseen. We're like, okay, I guess we're moving 600 miles away, and we'll figure it out when we get there. That was our journey, much like Abram, like, walking to a land that he wasn't familiar with, leaving things behind him. That was us, like, very literally. We bought and closed the house, on the house in December of 2019, and then planned on moving up permanently fully in, like, March, April of 2020. Now, I don't know if you remember what was going on in our country at the time, or the whole world at the time. Let me just say, I would not recommend moving 600 miles during a global pandemic. So if that's on your to-do list, just remove it. It's not advisable, I promise. But that was our journey. That was the journey that led us here to Winston-Salem. And in that time, we're like, okay, I guess we're going to have to find a church to plug into as well. But everything shut down. How do you do that? Well, thankfully, the internet was available. We started listening to sermons and podcasts and things going on in the area. And I heard some sermons at this little church called Bridges and this guy named Patrick. And I'm like, man, something's going on there. The word of God is preached. Jesus is loved. People are loved. People are being led to follow Jesus. We want to be a part of that. And so once things started to open back up, if you remember the mask days and where they like you had to sign in to be one of the 40 people able to be in the socially distanced room, the moment we could, our two families were here, seeing what was going on with Jesus in this place. And then we stayed ever since. That's kind of what brought us to the Winston area. A little bit about me. So on my kind of world on a day-to-day basis through the week, I work in the field of architecture. For those that don't know that about me, for 22 years, I've done architectural design and project management, client management. I get to play with other people's money and design buildings that I could never actually use myself. It's kind of fun in that way. And so most of my work is in the state of Florida. And so I get to design clubhouses and amenities for national home builders. It's been a blast. God has provided for my family through this channel of architecture. That's how he provides and will continue to provide. But in that, I'm going to rewind a little bit, then fast forward a little bit. Stay with me here. So going back to like 2018, 2019, in our church family in Florida, our lead pastor at the time was like, hey, Brandon, I've seen you lead these small groups. You're teaching in these experiences. Have you ever thought about going back to school, a Bible college or something, and getting more training? Because I think there's something in you here with this thing. And of course, my immediate answer was, no thanks. But if you've ever been in that kind of a story, you know what happens next. You follow God where he leads, and the next thing you know, I'm signing up for Bible college to do in my spare time, whatever that meant, to take Bible college courses because I knew that there was something that God was calling us to, but I didn't know what it was yet. I'm going to fast forward to Winston-Salem. I continued on in those Bible college classes, but actually talking with Patrick and getting to know some of the people that we know in our network, Johnson University is a wonderful university in our area for Christian ministries and pastoral ministries. And I had the opportunity to go through the certificate in pastoral ministries from Johnson, just finished that up last year. It has been profound. In fact, that made a radical change in the way that I even teach for the sermons that I've prepared for y'all over the past years. God has used other people to pour into me, and now he's bearing fruit on other people's trees as a result of obedience. That's a little bit about what brought us to Winston, architecture and college and all of these wonderful things. Now you know everything there is to know about Brandon.
Yeah. Maybe not everything. when Brandon and his family arrived, we were just so impressed with what God was doing in their heart, just their heart of service. And so Brandon and I have met multiple times over the last 5 years at a lot of different settings and definitely saw a call in his life. And we talked a lot about calling. We've gone to conferences together, traveled a lot in cars. And after every one, we have these long conversations. Okay, God, what are you calling Brandon? What's in his life? Because from the very beginning, we recognize the call. And we go, okay, we don't know what it is. God will show you and before he shows us. But we're here to help equip you, prepare you for whatever God has. Same with anybody that's here. Our job is to help you discover what God wants you to do and do it. So we've been doing that over the last few years. And Brandon has stepped up in a tremendous way. The last 3 years, he's been a resident, which means unpaid staff member. I don't know if you knew that. That's the definition of resident. And he's been with us, and he's been serving on staff. Main kind of things he does is work with small groups, help planning the architecture, how that all works together, and what we teach and everything. He's been leading a small group, speaking into so many different areas of the church with wisdom and direction, and really helping us to plan. A lot of things with design around here he's helped us with. It's been pretty incredible to have him on staff. And then the last year plus or so, we've had him shadow the elders. He comes to the meetings. He's not an elder in that sense, but he has spoken into it, prayed with us, been on this journey the whole time. But over the last few months, I would say, maybe over the whole time, but really the last few months, I feel like God has really clarified his calling and direction. So I wanted him to just have a chance to share with us today what you sense now and what God's speaking to you.
Yeah, for sure. And in a year where we're focusing on deployment, what it means to be deployed by Jesus, one of the questions I was asking, and I hope the question you're asking yourself is, what does it look like for me to be deployed? And I've been asking God that for years. And as Patrick said, there was clarity. And so before I tell you the what of the calling to which we're called, I want to give you a little bit of a sense of the why we were led this way. And there's three kind of ingredients that I want to share with you. One is this idea. I can look back in my Christian walk with the Lord and see seasons where he had me just serving. And everything I did was marked by serving in the church or in ministry, like just serve, just do. Walk in obedience and do. And there are other seasons in my life where it seemed like, man, everything I'm doing right now is to prepare for something that's next. I might not know what that next is, or sometimes I did, but like this is a training camp season. When I look over the past 4 or 5 years here at Bridges, it's been both. It's been both sides of the same coin. God has used us to serve, used me to serve, but also it's these training opportunities. So the long car rides that Patrick mentions, we've driven a good bit around the state. Going to conferences and training seminars and things through Waypoint, I'm rubbing elbows with other church planters who are sharing what God is doing in their circles. And seeing all of this information, experiencing it, soaking it up like a sponge. For those of you who know me, I like to learn. And so this is all input. But more specifically, I consider it fuel. See, God put a spark in my heart and my calling. I don't know exactly what it is, but all of these experiences, serving and the training, has been fuel to the fire, adding fuel. So keep that in your mind. That's one thing. Here's another. All the while, I couldn't shake this one burden that I have. And so in talking with a bunch of church planters and reading a bunch of content and books on church planting, there's a statement, a detail, a data point. This is one of the best ways to reach people with the gospel is by the planting of new churches. In the United States of America, one of the best, most effective tools that you can do, pound for pound, to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ is the planting of new churches. I love that. That's exciting. If that's what it takes, let's do it, because there's more people that need to be reached with the gospel out there. So let's do it. But at the same time, here's where the burden comes in. There are people in our networks, in our lives, where we live, work, learn, and play, that will never set foot inside of a church, whether it's an old church, a new church, or a recent church. And so there's this core group of unreached people literally right outside this door. And so if the best way to reach them is planting new churches, that's great, but what if they don't ever come to church? So there's this burden in me. Lock that in your mind. That's the second thing. There's fuel, but there's also a burden. And then the third thing is kind of what Patrick was alluding to earlier. God has gifted me with a unique set of gifts. I believe he has gifted you too, if you have the Holy Spirit, by the way. And so he's gifted me with some unique gifts. One of them is in teaching. I love to teach. I love to learn. I love to share with others in a way that hopefully they can understand, and if not, I'll try again. I have a lot to learn still to be an effective teacher, but God has gifted me in this realm. But he's also gifted me in the realm of creating, of doing. I like starting things, creating new avenues, new ideas, new presentations. I like starting new projects at my house. I'm not always greatest at finishing those projects, but I love starting new things. I mentioned in a sermon a while ago about God's wisdom and one of his creative acts in the beginning in Genesis. He made order out of chaos is one way to look at it. I love that picture. That excites me. That gets me going. And so you take this third component of the gifts that he has given me in teaching and creating, and you put that together with this fuel and this burden. Those are the whys behind the what. So here's the what. Here's what God has clarified, what he's called us to do and where he's taking us. He's called us to go. The last slide on that video was go with an exclamation point. I won't yell it in your ear in a microphone, but I see that as like, go. So we're going to go. We're going to plant a new church movement to reach that unique people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unique movement, a new church plant. That's what we're setting out to do. There's a great story, one of my favorite pieces in the New Testament. In Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's asking them, he says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter, the one who typically responds first, actually gets it right. He says, Jesus, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you nailed it. That's the Brandon version. You nailed it. He says, yes, and on that truth of who I am, I will build my church. And I'm convinced that Jesus is still building his church today, 2,000 years later. But that word build kind of like sends a signal to me. Because I come from the architecture world, right? So I like to dabble in things. I like to build things. Okay, Jesus is building things, and you can't build things without tools. I like tools. I have a lot of different tools. I have different tools for different projects. And so I'm convinced that Jesus uses many tools in the building of his church. This format, this way of assembling as Bridges Church is one tool. What we're called to is a different tool. To start a new thing using a different tool to reach different people. There's one more illustration I would give, and I got this from Patrick. We could probably talk about where it came from, unless he created it, which would be awesome.
I did anyway, that.
No, it came
There's from another illustration of fishing. Now, I've not been fishing. I'm not the fisherman. And so I like this analogy, but I don't have direct connection to it. Here's the picture. When you go net fishing, the disciples are often net fishing in the scriptures. The type of net you use is specific to the type of fish that you're fishing for. So you can picture this. If you take a net and if you weave it together and you put those squares too big, the fish that you're after might swim right through it. But if you weave the net too tight, way too fine, you're going to catch not only the fish that you were after, but all kinds of other fish that are a distraction from the things that you really were meant to fish for. And so it's important to use the right net to cast in the right waters for the right fish. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And so I'm convinced that we're called to weave a new net, cast it into new waters for fish that are not currently being fished for right outside these doors. That's where we're headed. It's still helping people find and follow Jesus. That is the core. That is the mission. But the vision statement, I think, helps a little bit too. There's a vision statement that's been put on my heart in a way that we were trying to put words to such a big idea. And the vision statement kind of goes a little something like this. It's a movement. We're called to start a movement of ordinary people multiplying disciples and churches in everyday places. That's what God has called us to do. That's the clarity that has come. We're going to launch that out from Bridges, and that's how we're going to see God move in that way. I've been using the word we quite a bit here. We're going to do this. So first of all, that's my wife in the sound booth, Danelle. Everybody say hi, Danelle. We're not recording, so now I can have a little fun. So it's my wife and obviously my two daughters too. So Michaela, who plays the bass, and Naomi, who's right now helping with the kids in the kids room. It's us. That's part of the we. But we're not alone. And so God called us, but he also moved us to cast this vision to two other families to see if God is also calling them. And they've affirmed in this call, and we're walking forward together. And so there's two other families that I want to recognize in this launch. One is the Fields. So Jason and Danny, you've met already. You guys go way back. And so Jason and Dana and their kids, so Jovi and Willow and Sawyer and Ramona, have been caught by the same vision. But also the Gilchrist family, so Jacob and Megan, you guys raise your hands too. Mm-hmm. Y'all know Jacob mm-hmm. and Megan and Gideon mm-hmm. and Babette and Molly. We were able to cast vision to them, and God affirmed in their hearts that we're in this together. This is our call. This is what deployed looks like for us. And that's really what I want you to hear this morning, because this is what we're about as a church all year long. What does it look like to go and make disciples in your context? This is what it looks like for us. So I don't know how to physically fish, but I will tell you that we're going to launch and go fishing.
That's awesome. And I don't know how you guys are processing this. I'll just tell you, when he finished school in August, it was like this sense of, okay, God, you've got something for him, and it means he's probably not going to stay here. So it was, first of all, it was kind of a dread, you know what I mean? Like the hit in your stomach kind of thing. So, but when this settled down, I remember the day he came and told us this is what God was calling. It was a real sense, and maybe you feel this, like loss or grieving a little bit, because we've come to love him, the families, all of them, we've come to rely on them. God has used them in a tremendous way. So there was a lot of processing, just the emotion of that. And it's not an easy thing to do, because there's this sense of they're moving on, and God has something for them, and yet God has something for us as well. As the elders were presented this several months ago, and we've kind of been tracking with it anyway, it was like we went around, we prayed about it, and then to a person, okay, if God's calling this to happen, then we're all behind it. It's about our theme or our mission for the church is really simple. It's this, it's helping people find and follow Jesus. And if that's the call, then we'll, whatever sacrifice, whatever it means, you do that, right? That God has a purpose for them and as well for us, but for lost people. One of the cool things that's happened for me over 20 years ago, I was teaching at a Christian high school, and I had a student, and her dad was part of this kind of, same kind of movement. And he and I would have these conversations about what does it look like? And you don't know, perhaps, there's hundreds of thousands of people that meet every Sunday or whatever day of the week around the country in small houses and houses or in bars, like on Sunday morning or in afternoon, or meeting places, coffee houses, you name it. And they're teaching about Jesus. They're sharing life together. They're doing life together. And because there's not a building, because it doesn't hit the news, you don't even know. I don't even know, but I've followed these movements. And then the movement in South America, the movement in Asia is all this kind of thing. It's different. And people might go, I don't get that because you're so used to a building. But we were a church plant, so we're used to moving around and not having a physical building, but more of it's the people. It's the people. So we process this a bit, and it hasn't been easy emotionally, but spiritually, we've come to this anticipation, excitement as well for what God is doing, and it's a powerful thing. Couple of things to kind of know. In June, it's going to take a while to train them. It's not like you just start this and go, okay, guys, let's just do this. So they're already entered into training. Like, how do you do this, and what is it going to look like, and then how do you reach people, and how do you continue this movement, and how do you train new leaders? They're working on that now, and so they'll be with us for a few more weeks, and then June 22nd, you can put this on your calendar. It's a day where we're going to do another service like this. We're going to ordain Brandon to ministry, which is a recognition of a call, a formal recognition of we see him as the leader of a movement, and he has our full endorsement, so we'll be doing that on June 22nd. That also on that day at the end of the service, we'll be commissioning this group. Just like they did in Acts, send them out, go do. And we're praying a great movement of people will be part of this, that eventually they'll be reaching people in our city, in our community that we don't even know right now, who are in a place of lostness right now. And this is what we want to be about. It also is a place for us as a church to go, okay, God's still calling us. There's still direction for us. There's going to be people that we need to step up in the band, in the tech booth, and other places they serve. And so we're going to ask you to ask God, what's next for us too? Where can I step in? Where can I help? How can you use my giftedness in whatever it takes? Because God is interested in reaching lost people. That's his heart, no matter what it may look like. And that's what the heart of Bridges is as well. So, Brandon, I know you have more that you want to share, so go ahead and take
it. I do. So, for the next hour, what we'll do... I just want to say thank you. So, you're going to hear this a few times over the next couple of weeks. From my heart, thank you. Because so many of you have been a part of the journey for us and poured into our lives. You've participated in things with us. We've gone through some things. Some people in this room, we've been down some roads together. And that has blessed me in my heart. And all of that leads to this. And this all leads to something new. And all I can say is thanks to God, but also thanks to you for being avid followers of Christ. So keep following him. But I also want to say thank you on behalf of the others. So on behalf of Danelle and Dana and Jason and Jacob and Megan, like, thank you. We value what God has done through you, and now through your obedience and what it means to be the church here, this is now going to bear fruit on trees that you might not so often see, but it's growing. So keep fighting. As I said last week, this is a good fight of faith to keep on doing what God has called you to do. We love you. We're going to keep praying for you. Just a note on this, it's a new ministry, a new movement, but not a new town. And so at the moment, and we've moved a lot in our lives, I'm going to say something carefully here. There's no plan at the moment to move. God can do crazy things, but we'll still be here locally. My phone number still works. We love you guys, and we'll be around, and we'd love to hang out some more and share what God's doing and hear what God's doing as we pray for you and hopefully as you'll pray for us along the journey. We love y'all big time.
So we're going to ask you guys to be in prayer for them and to support and encourage over the next few weeks and beyond that. Brandon loves early morning, the earlier the better meetings. So 4, I think, is his starting time. So if you want to meet with him and talk, just contact him and say, hey, I'm ready to go. And just have a conversation. He'd love questions. This is something we're excited about, want you to be as well. So ask him today. Talk to the families we want to love and encourage, and not at 4, but sometime in the morning. That's his good time. Yeah, we're excited. We're going to pray today, but we're going to continue to pray and ask God. And one of the things we want you to do as well is, like, the message notes today was a blank piece of paper. And what we want you to do is consider that blank piece of paper your life, and to give it to Jesus and just say, Jesus, what do you want me to do to be deployed in the world? Whether it's something like this movement or a new place to serve or a new way of connecting with a neighbor or someone at school or a colleague, and just open, allow the Holy Spirit to open the door to possibility of sharing the gospel to see one more person come to Christ. Because it's worth it, right? It's worth it if at least one more person comes to Christ. It's completely worth it. So we want to pray now, continue to pray, and continue to encourage them on this journey. So let's pray together now. Father God, you are an amazing God. You have such a heart for people. And you had a plan from the very beginning in the brokenness of the garden to the very end when we're all brought back together before the throne, where we all kneel down and we all confess that Jesus Christ that he is Lord. When he's Lord, that means whatever he says goes. When he's Lord, there's nowhere that we can go that will be separated from him. When he's Lord, there's no question, no response, no request, no call that we can say no to if he's Lord. And so we say yes to whatever you have for us because of what you did for us on the cross. Jesus, it's all about your kingdom. It's all about sharing the gospel. It's all about lost people crossing the line of obedience and faith and belief to know you for all eternity, to have sins wiped away, to have new lives, new hope, new direction, new purpose. It's not about our lives here on this earth. It's about the eternity that we will spend with you. This is a testing ground for our character, but it's also a mission field that we have been called to go and seek and save the lost. So help us to do whatever it takes to accomplish what you want to do. Thank you for this calling on Brandon's life, Father. From the time he was a young boy, you were working in his life. From the very beginning, and all these families, you are working and you will continue to work. You'll continue to bless. You'll continue to guide. And in this church gathering here, you're going to continue, Father, well beyond what we can hope for or imagine. So move in a powerful way. May your Spirit lead and guide. May you bring peace and love and hope and joy. May you inspire us. May you change us, transform us, complete us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, increase our vision for greater things, things we don't even know about now, that you want to do in us and through us, and that no one is beyond your call. No one's unimportant in the kingdom. Every role is important. You notice it all. You know our stories. You know how you created us, our giftedness, our weaknesses, our strengths. Thank you for allowing us to be part of this incredible, incredible mission. And may we listen to your Spirit. And may we respond. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give Brandon a hand, please. Good job, Brandon. Well, in this part of the service, as we take a time of communion reflection, and that's what we want to continue to do. Reflection's a time to look back and say, God, what are you teaching me? What are you showing me? What are you directing me to do? Communion's a time to connect with Jesus. During this time, we want you to think about what you've heard today, and then we want you to ask God, what are you calling me to do? What is my contribution to your kingdom? You know, Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, he laid out his life mission. This is why he came. And it's in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, and this is what he said. He said, the Son of Man, which is his title for himself, came to find lost people and to save them. That's why he came to earth. He left his home in heaven. He left everything he knew there. And he came into the earth and responded to so many people, interacted with so many people. But his idea was to save people. And there was a time in your life and in my life, if you're a follower of Jesus, where you lived in darkness, where you lived in a world where you didn't know God. You lived in a world just like I did, where we were filled with sin, and that's how God saw us, and there was a gulf between us. And then somehow, someone, someplace, sometime came to you and explained how to know Jesus. You're a follower. You heard it from a preacher. You heard it on TV through an evangelist. You had a neighbor, a grandparent, a Sunday school teacher. Someone said to you, this is the gospel, and if you're a follower of Jesus, you responded. And you said, I believe. And it's because Jesus came into the world. That's what he wants. So what we want to do today after our time of communion is just to stop and say, okay, God, first of all, thank you for the people that you brought into our lives. Thank you for sending Jesus himself to save us that were lost. And pray for those people that don't know Jesus yet. During this time, we also want to take time to pray for other churches in the community. We want this church, Bridges Church, to be about praying for others who are reaching people that we can't reach. We prayed for a lot of different churches. Today, we want to pray for Old Town Baptist, who's up the street, a great partner with us. They partner with us in the backpack program and over in the Learning Center. And they are reaching people that we don't reach. And we are reaching people they don't reach. And it's just like Awake and New Church and Maple Springs up the street. We are praying for these churches because together we're reaching people for Christ. If you came for something different today, I want you to know that this is a heart that we have. And we hope that your heart beats for what God's heart beats for, reaching people. So let's pray. And then spend some time with God. So let's pray. Father God, this is a holy moment because you are here and your spirit is here. And we forget sometimes. We go through our daily activities and we get so caught up in things that are so unimportant. And then there's days you wake us up and you say, look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. And pray for workers to go out into the harvest. And that's what we're doing today, Father. We are praying for workers to go out into the harvest. We are praying for Old Town Baptist and the people they're reaching there. And we're praying for the other churches in our community and this new movement that you're starting to reach lost people. Forgive us when we think only of our own kingdoms and not your kingdom. May we have a heart for doing the things that you have a heart for. We look at the communion table, and on the table is the bread. And that was your body, represents your body, which was broken for us. And then we see the juice, and we're reminded that's your blood, Jesus, that you shed for us, that our sins would be forgiven, our pages of life wiped clean. And the righteousness of Christ put on us that we could know you for all eternity. This life is so short. Eternity goes on forever, and we will spend time with people we don't know right now. We'll get to know them in heaven, and we'll get to hear their stories of how someone shared Jesus with them, and we'll share our stories, and other people will come together. We'll just tell stories all the time about how good God you are and how you use people to bring us home. Use this time of communion, Father. Speak to our hearts. Maybe there's others that you're calling out to new things and new directions, and maybe you're laying on people's hearts, people they need to share Jesus with. And I pray for boldness. I pray for clarity of mind and spirit. I pray for conversations to be centered on God and what you want to do in their lives. I pray for relationships to be built in powerful ways that we're looking for just a way to introduce them to Jesus. Jesus is our answer, the answer to all the questions. Use this time today, Father, to speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. On the back two tables, there's communion. If you're a follower, Jesus is open to everyone. And then take some time to reflect, to pray, and ask God what's next.